Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for a Patriots Friday, Keith?
I'm ready for a Patriots Friday, Jones. It's here. Pats need a win. They need to bounce back. They need this game on Sunday. They need it. They need it like I need air and donuts.
Not a must win. Well, I
scarfed down several donuts. Nick was very impressed with me. Well, I walked down the hallway, I grabbed a donut, and then I pivoted back to get another one.
Quick U-turn.
Nicholas, you already eat the one you started with? Go, oh, yeah.
I don't know if he was impressed or disgusted.
Yeah, I meant both.
But I did appreciate Nick calling you out for claiming you weren't a breakfast person
the other day.
And then, you know, in 30 seconds, there were two donuts down.
I've never spent money on breakfast. If it's free, it's for me, so I'll grab it in the hallway. But yeah, that was great. I just pivoted. I'm like, oh, these guys are still in the air. Let me turn back around, get a second one, fuel up for the show.
They're still going. I'm going to go grab another donut.
You see all the stuff down there?
I did.
I don't know if that's up for grabs. I know people get really upset about what's for everybody, what's, you know, labeled, but.
It was left out overnight, so I
that's what I was going to say. Did that get
so maybe don't eat
that
the brisket?
Wasn't a bunch of ribs and stuff that was brought in this morning.
There's like one lonely wing in there. I was like, I should probably eat the one wing. We'll circle back. There's like a tray of cornbread.
When we used to, I saw all of it. Yeah. When we used to work together at night, Keith, there was constantly food that was left out.
And Keith
would be like, that's been out for, or it's been in the fridge for however long, or that's been out for however long. He's like, is it good? I'm like, I don't know. And he'd be like, I'll try it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a catfish in a tank. Like a little, like your little fish tank. Just goes around cleaning up everything, eating whatever you need.
Yeah.
It's accurate. Yeah. So, no, good day today. Friday, usually there is some food. Now, that food might be from Thursday.
That's fine.
Or Wednesday, but it's for me.
That's
good
fine.
Start to the day. I don't know who's been bringing in the dodos, but fantastic.
There have been a lot of donuts down there lately.
The donuts this week have been
That's got to be Chris or Courtney. They usually are bringing in food. So
I think
it's
the
be.
Witch from Hansel and Gretel trying to fatten me up a little bit. That's what I think, and it's working.
Well, I'll tell you, yeah. I'm happy it's a Patriots Friday, and we have a lot in store.
Me too.
Top five Friday.
Yep.
At 10:45, Patriots are playing the Carolina Panthers. Their mascot, famously, is Sir Purr.
Sir Purr.
And so in honor of Sir Purr, we're going to do the top five sports mascots.
Yeah, we've never done this. I'm excited to see. And
we've
this is college
right around
and,
it.
We have. We've discussed
it. But
them.
We've never actually gotten into it yet.
This is college and pro. So you can really explore the space. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, to choose from. So I'm curious how much overlap. Just like every other time, I haven't seen your list. You haven't seen mine.
No. But I will show you yours if you show me mine at 10:45.
Always.
We'll make that happen.
Only respectful.
So that's Top 5 Friday at 10:45. Sports mascots.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Friday 4-pack at 11:30, which we'll get to. We have Keith's Keys, of course.
Yes.
At 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Milt the Stilt Williams. Good week to do it. He was almost a Carolina Panther this offseason.
That's a good point.
So a good week to do that. That'll be in the 1 o'clock hour, and we'll also get you the week in review at 12:45. Again, I don't want to take away anything from Patriots Friday, Keith.
No, please don't.
But I was kind of hoping it was going to be a Red Sox Friday with a clinch.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, yesterday afternoon, the Astros play. They
win. We're never going to use those glitter guns again. I have stacks of glitter guns from when they shut down Party City right next door. I went out. I bought them at a liquidation sale over at Party City.
Yep.
And we're never going to use the glitter
guns.
Well, we're never going to use the glitter guns again. We're never going to use them.
I got a newsflash for you.
Yeah?
When the Spirit Halloween goes away, it's going to be an iParty again. So don't worry about it. It'll pop back up. But so yesterday, and we said this on the show before we got off the air, we'd almost rather the Red Sox just win it rather than be given it, meaning the Astros lose in the afternoon. So I had one eye on that, Astros A's, Astros actually win a game. So you're like, all right, magic number's one, all on the Red Sox. Start the game, the Blue Jays are going with an opener, and so all bullpen guys, and they were all nasty.
They were all
they were throwing a no-hitter.
Filthy.
You're like, what is this?
Wasn't one of the guys – the pitcher that we argued about at the beginning of the year? It was, Lauer guy? You were like, I like him. I'm like, he stinks. Right? Yeah. He's good last night.
He looked really nice. Yeah. And so they just kind of rolled through. Red Sox didn't get anything going. Bayo got out of a jam in whatever inning it was, the third. So he's five scoreless, goes out there for the sixth.
Yeah, but it was a tightrope in a few of those.
It was. That's what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't like a perfect five innings, but it was five scoreless innings. But the game was also scoreless. Then in the sixth inning, two guys already on. You got a full count. You're like, all right, maybe double play, maybe strikeout. Now let's hit the guy. Let's hit the guy in the shoe. So then he goes on. You're like, I don't like this. So then they go to the bullpen, right? And in comes Justin Wilson, 0-2 count. He's up 0-2.
Right where you want him.
Throws it right down Broadway. The thing hasn't landed yet. You're like, oh, no.
It's over. We are screwed.
Okay.
Four-nothing right in a blink of an eye.
I don't know if it's over and we're screwed and, like, the Red Sox should still get in. I don't love that it's my guy, Kyle Harrison.
I don't like this.
And then Connelly early. No, I'm like, don't let this thing come down to Sunday. Just you're still in a good spot. I don't want to back down. But all of a sudden I look at the pitching matchups and I'm like, ugh.
He's like, hold on, folks.
It's Harrison early, and then maybe you got Scooble on the other side on Sunday. So I can see how I'd get away from you. You might need to back in with the Astros losing.
Well, the Astros also are playing the Angels, who are horrible. Now, the Astros have struggled. Good. But the Angels are trash.
They need a game. Just a game.
What's more likely, the Red Sox get swept or the Astros sweep? What's more likely to happen?
More likely is the
Astros sweep?
No.
No.
Red Sox get swept.
Oh, God.
That's more likely.
Oh, no.
But I don't think the Astros sweep.
Well, that's the other part of it, too, is a month ago when we were doing the same exercise, we were looking at all the remaining games, and we were like, oh, that last series against Detroit, whoa, they have to play for. Apparently, their lives. Because we thought they would have wrapped up the division and maybe, I guess, been playing for the number one overall seed. But we would have been like, they're fine. They're going to want to line up Scooble. You might not even have to face Scooble. But they're as desperate as anybody. Mm-hmm. It's them and the Astros and you, the Red Sox, that are the most desperate teams right now in the American League. So this did not line up the way. Now, there's a lot of room for error. It's three. Like, you literally need a sweep in both series for you to miss. But we're still only talking about three games now.
They're still going
to
get in. I agree. But I hadn't really fully looked at all the pitching matchups for the weekend when I was real confident yesterday, flying high on the wings of pastrami. Yeah. But I had not seen or really looked at all the pitching matchups. So, look, they're still in a good spot. But we were hoping to come in with some glitter guns today. They do have a Trevor Story problem. We're going to get to that coming up. And if you want to watch them potentially clinch tonight, good luck. You can catch it here, though, on WEEI. We'll get to all of that later on. Plus Top 5 Friday 4-Pack Week in Review, and the keys to Patriots and Panthers, plus Milton Williams in the 1 o'clock hour. As it relates to the Patriots this weekend, Keith, we played you Josh McDaniels off the top just as a way to get into a big week for Mike Vrabel in a number of ways. The Patriots need a win. Must win is probably too strong, but you want to be 2-2 going into Buffalo a week from here. You do not want to lose to the Carolina Panthers and then be staring down going 1-4 against Buffalo if you don't win that game. The Patriots are the largest favorite they've been. Is it up to 5.5 now?
Yes.
They're the largest favorite they've been since week 7 of 2022 when they were 8.5-point favorites versus the Chicago Bears. That game did not go well. That was when Mac Jones started, got benched. Bailey Zappe came in. They briefly took the lead.
Yeah.
And then Justin Fields ran all over them, and they lost 33-14.
Yeah.
But they should win this game, according to Vegas. They're in a good spot compared to what they've done. Bryce Young is 1-14 in 15 career road starts. That's among the worst in NFL history. Steve DeBerg, Dan Pastroini?
Sure.
And Blake Bortles? All were the same record, so it's among the worst in NFL history. Carolina's not very good.
Nope.
And your backs are against the wall. So it's a big week for Vrabel in terms of getting response on the field, cleaning up penalties and turnovers and things like that we just talked about all week. And he's also going to get tested, Keith, on who Josh McDaniels is talking about, his confidence in Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah.
What does he do with Ramondre? What does he do with Pop Douglas, who was on the Greg Hill show this morning? And to a lesser degree, I'm going to be watching how they handle Gonzalez this weekend as well, assuming he's back.
Yeah, there is suddenly a lot of sort of storylines that go along with the game that you almost have to win. Like, there's that sort of on top of everything. You can't start the year 0-3 at home and 1-3 against the four teams that you played.
0-3 against very good. It's not like you're playing, exactly, the teams you played. Exactly. You're not playing Baltimore, Kansas City, Philly.
Nope.
You're playing all games you should on paper win.
Yeah. So the team you beat hasn't won a game. The team that beat you the first week has only won that game, right? Like, they're 1-2 because they played you. The Dolphins haven't won a game. Pittsburgh is 2-1. My guess is they lose on tomorrow, but whatever, on Sunday. But the point is, these are some of those very winnable games. Those first ones, you could maybe say coin flip. This shouldn't even be coin flip. This should be more advantage Patriots. You're at home. You are the better team. They don't have the better roster week in and week out, but this one they do. They have the better roster this week. They have the coaching advantage this week. There should be some sort of home field advantage, or at least you need to find a way to create a home field advantage. And then you're right, there's all these other things, these sort of coaching things. Does Ramondre Stevenson play? And if he does play, what's his role? And same with Pop Douglas. You know, those are two different ones too, right? Like, are you like holding on to the ball versus just situational awareness? Do they get like the same kind of reprimand? Is it different? I'm with you on Gonzalez. Is he fully ready to go? How does he balance that whole thing? So, yeah, it's a massive week. Also, with Buffalo looming in week 5, sort of add that to the whole part of it. Yeah, this game is huge. Like, this is a monster week 4 game.
Speaking of Gonzalez, he's reportedly back. Although, did you see who had the report?
Yeah, I tossed this in the trash. I mean, he could be right. Well, so Jordan Schultz, the guy who tried to fight Ian Rapoport in a Starbucks, just to let everybody know who we're talking about here.
Yeah. Well, Rap Sheet wasn't crediting him or whatever it was. I forget what it was.
It was obviously worth fighting about.
And it's his dad's company, Starbucks. So, yeah, stand down there, Rap Sheet.
That's true.
Which, honestly, given his height, he mostly
he was probably standing down.
He was standing down, yeah.
Schultz must have, like, one of those cards where you get free Starbucks for life. That'd be pretty amazing, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, he was the first to report when Christian Gonzalez got hurt during training camp that it's not that bad, you'll be back week 1. Here's the first one. Nobody else had, no local guy had it, no whatever, and obviously that wasn't even right, but he was the first one to even report on the severity of Gonzalez's injury.
That could be right, and Gonzalez is just baby. Like, that could be right.
True, but I'm just saying, like, he was the only one.
He was not back week 1, but, like, maybe he should have been back week 1, but anyway,
maybe he should have been, but he was not, and now everybody's already sort of pointing to, like, we know he's been practicing, we know he's getting close. Just listening to Mike Vrabel and Gonzalez themselves, we can kind of connect the dots. Sounds like he's going to play. And then Schultz comes out yesterday. He's like, oh, he's doing good. He should be out there on Sunday. I'm like,
Schultz.
Okay, bud.
Patriots star cornerback Christian Gonzalez has made quote-unquote good progress in his hamstring recovery and is likely to make his season debut on Sunday.
Likely is a key word.
I'm told.
You sure about that?
I'm told. Careful. We don't need him challenging us to fights.
No,
you know?
No, thanks.
The Starbucks on Soldiers Field Road. I don't need that.
No.
I'm told Gonzalez was quote-unquote close in week 3 and has responded well to the additional work this week, putting him in line to play. So, look, Gonzalez obviously has the potential to make a difference. Vrabel would lose that excuse if he's playing this weekend. It's another huge test for Vrabel. We said this going into week 2. I'm like, Miami's a massive test already. Week 2, Vrabel is being tested. And to his credit, they came through in that spot. Barely, but they did. You got to clean up penalties. You got to clean up turnovers. You got to win this game. And I'm curious how he handles some of the personnel stuff. But I didn't think twice in the first month we'd be like, boy, if Vrabel doesn't come through here, Keith, we're looking at real cracks within potentially the locker room and potential for it to snowball away from him this early. I didn't think we'd be doing this, checking the temperature of Mike Vrabel a couple of times in the first month.
We're not officially at Gerard Mayo, Mike Vrabel, Spider-Man meme. But if he loses on Sunday, make the meme.
Meme it up.
Make the meme, them pointing at each other.
Let's make that in advance, just in case. If we could get on top of that,
get
just
the meme
in case.
Lab. Yeah, let's have it ready to go.
Let's do that.
Yeah. As soon as the game's over, we could tweet that out. We could be the first with the Mayo Vrabel Spider-Man meme.
Maybe don't even wait till the end of the game. We might need it in game. We might need it.
Well, it's true, depending on how things go. But I'm fascinated to see how this whole thing plays out. Now, he hasn't done the Ramondre Stevenson won't start. He hasn't said that and then started him. Right. Or like, then you talk to the players like, hey, Antonio Gibson, did you know you were going to start? No. Like, we found out pretty clearly that the communication was really poor within the team. That hasn't happened yet here. You can argue, like, on the field, they're not ready to go and they're not the most buttoned up team and they got all these penalties. That's true. But the other part of it was last year was, you know, coaches not knowing Marcus Jones played offense, the whole who's starting at running back, who's not. Like, there was a lot of weird stuff there that they weren't communicating. That hasn't creeped in yet this season.
While we're talking about, some of Gonzalez in there, we just got a good tweet about this. You see this?
No.
Pat tweeted at Jones and Keefe, at Keefe 21, at Jones WEEI. In the 2023 draft, should the Patriots have drafted JSN, who looked awesome last night when they actually threw it to him?
Yes.
Should they have drafted him instead of Gonzalez?
Well,
that's a good second guess.
That's a great one. Yeah, no, that's a really good one.
He was the first receiver in that draft. At pick 20, Pats moved back and took Christian Gonzalez at pick 17. Four straight receivers went. It went JSN, who's been to a Pro Bowl and looks awesome this year.
Is this the Zay Flowers draft?
Quentin Johnston, who's having a good year.
I think he stinks, but he's actually been very good.
Zay Flowers, who's been to a Pro Bowl, and you should have known him from BC, and then Jordan Addison.
Who's also good. He's back off suspension this week, too. Mm-hmm. So those four guys are all different degrees of good. I'm not going to go full revisionist history because at the time I was thrilled with Gonzalez.
And I was listening.
I was listening
that night during your draft coverage.
Yeah, Shime and Hart and Fitzy.
You guys were riding a real roller coaster when they traded, and then you were right back in.
Because we wanted him at whatever it was, 11 or 13. And
14?
14. Then they traded down, and we're like, oh, no. But then they got him, so we were thrilled. So, yeah, it was the highs and lows of a Bill Belichick draft. But, I mean, I guess.
Let's watch it.
People around here would not have been patient enough for JSN to actually turn into what he has.
It took him a year and a half.
No, that's true.
It took Metcalf's injury last year for JSN to be the focal point of that offense.
A lot of people wanted Zay Flowers, and I was right there with him. Like, if they didn't get Gonzalez, because I thought they really, really needed a corner. They always need a receiver, but I was just so afraid of their track record with receivers, too. Like, they would have taken Quentin Johnston out of that trio, out of that quartet.
Well, this is a great point.
Like,
It would have been Bill drafting and developing that receiver. Great point.
Yeah. But, like, right now, if you were to offer just a straight-up trade between the two...
Who would I rather have?
I would still take Gonzo right now.
I think I would, too.
JSN's flying up the board, though, for wide-out rankings.
Let's watch it.
Yeah.
Let's watch it. And let's see if Gonzalez is back, and he's a lockdown guy, and he's out there, you know, playing his ass off this year and not making Sauce Gardner business decisions. Great. Yep. I think I'd rather have Gonzalez. But that's a good one to watch. Good question by Pat.
Mm-hmm. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I literally focus on the process of what we're trying to do. And if we're passing the ball, efficiently, then, I'm not overly concerned about one person or another. And I'd love for all of them to have six catches and 85 yards and two touchdowns. It's just unrealistic. While 2 weeks ago, Ramondre, is our leading receiver. Last week, it's Hunter. The week before, it's somebody else. I don't know who it's going to be this week. I'd like our young quarterback to continue to try to distribute the ball to the person that it's supposed to go to. We involve all of our players in the game plan. Every one of them practices really hard. I think they're unselfish. I think they know that the ball may come to them and it may not. And hopefully, I think the goal for all of us is that we hope that the quarterback is throwing it to the person that's supposed to get it. So, that's the short and long of it is, if you start trying to force it to one person or another, it gets a little bit different, and now you start making mistakes.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a Patriots Friday. It's also a Top 5 Friday.
Woo!
We'll give you our Top 5 sports mascots.
Some good ones.
Pro and college.
That's right.
Coming your way.
Open the floodgates.
At 10:45. All your feedback at 617-779-7937. We, of course, have the Friday 4-pack at 11:30. Week in review. At 12:45, it's a Friday.
Oh,
it means it's time for Keefe's Keys. Pats and Panthers at 1 o'clock. And we'll also talk to Milton Williams, scheduled for 1:15 today.
Excellent.
Milt the Stilt.
Maybe get his keys to the game as well.
Back on the show. We should.
Yeah.
We should. Oh, plus, Bozo Touchdown Parlay.
Oh, yeah.
Survivor pool picks. Well, those of us who are left.
Those who have survived thus far.
In the five-person Jones and Keefe Survivor pool. There's only three of us left.
That's okay.
But we'll make those picks in the grab bag later on today. Plus, Terp is going to join us in studio for some Pure Hoops right before high noon.
Excellent.
He was all business Terp at the Bill Chisholm press conference yesterday.
He was there. He was in the flesh.
We got thoughts on it. We'll get to that again right before high noon. Josh McDaniels talking about the offensive distribution, the way they're going to balance things this week. And basically, you get into trouble when you start feeding it to one player over and over and over again. I can't help but listen to a comment that Josh Allen had earlier this week.
I heard the same thing.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, so Allen had a comment where basically he's like, it all opened up for me when I felt like we didn't need to get specific people the ball. Which to me is, like, he's talking about Diggs.
I know he is, but also, like, I feel like that is pretty dismissive of how important Diggs was for his career.
I'm just telling
you. Because he borderline.
I'm just telling you what he said, and I'm telling you what Josh McDaniels said.
I know.
Diggs,
I hear
that last year, too. He was, like, happy Diggs was gone.
Diggs is involved. Yeah. I mean, most teams have been happy when Steph Diggs leaves.
Okay, but he was asked about why his turnovers went down, and that's what he talked about. So rather than taking accountability for some of your dumb throws.
Oh, Allen.
Yes, Allen. Yes, yes, yes. And I love Josh Allen. But I'm just saying, like, he's like, well, yeah, now I can just throw the open guy. Oh, so sorry when Diggs showed up and you threw for an extra 1,500 yards and you were runner-up in the MVP his first year there. You were borderline out of the league after 2 years at Buffalo. Diggs shows up, really put you on the map. You figured out how to play quarterback at that point. And maybe now you're not feeding the ball to Steph Diggs as much, so the turnovers are down. But I don't know. So are the touchdowns and the yards. And when was you? Did he win the Super Bowl last year? Super Bowl the year Diggs left. Did you go to the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
They didn't go there with him either.
I was like, come on.
They're the Bills. So the answer
are the Bills.
Those
so they're
are,
not going. Yeah, to. Not his fault. Yeah. No, but I like Allen. But that just seemed like a direct attack at Diggs. Like, he's so much better now that Diggs is gone. It's like, no. Diggs made you a whole lot better. You've maintained that good play. But you haven't won jack. You've gone just as far.
But it speaks to trying to force a ball to someone. And in fairness,
it does.
I don't think May's forcing the ball to Diggs at all. In fact, I think we both want Diggs more involved this week, right? So I acknowledge that's a hard balance.
It is.
Where I want Diggs more involved. Three targets isn't enough. But I also don't want it to a point where Drake May is locked onto him and now he's the only guy he's throwing to. So there's a balance there. But I think there's a pretty big gap between three targets last week.
Yeah.
10, 11, 12 targets where you're locked onto them all game. Like, somewhere in the middle, to me, would be pretty reasonable.
I agree. He should get more. He's not as good as he once was, so he doesn't need to get 16 targets a game, which is really what the pace was with Buffalo. But I don't know. I always thought it was a bit of, like, a misnomer where, Tom Brady's favorite receiver is the open receiver. Like, or is it Welker and Moss? Or is it Edelman and Gronk? I don't know if it really was. I think early in his career, you could maybe say that because it was guys like Brown and Patton and Givens.
Oh, yeah.
But then it got to a point where you're like, no, his favorite receiver is Edelman and Gronk, and it should be.
Yeah, that changed over his career.
Yes.
But early in his career, I agree. That was
early in his career, I think that was – but people kept saying it as it went on, and you're like, Wes Welker has like 1,600 yards receiving. I'm pretty sure his favorite receiver is Wes Welker.
So I would like to see a little bit more there with Stephon Diggs involved this week. But again, you don't want to latch on to him, and you don't want the turnovers to pile up. And so the Patriots offense versus that Carolina secondary, which did get some big turnovers last week and one going away in a game that I certainly didn't see coming. That is this week's Verizon matchup. Again, Drake May, the turnovers against that Carolina secondary. Your Verizon matchup, the New England Patriots are powered by Verizon 5G. You think they clean it up this week, Keefe? You said yesterday in your 60-second preview, which you can check out at Jones and Keefe on social media, Twitter and Instagram. You said yesterday they could turn it over two times and still beat this Carolina team.
Yeah.
Maybe they can. I wouldn't consider that cleaning up turnovers, though.
No. You'd like to see it go back the other way. I'm just saying they turned it over five times and almost still went down the field and tied the game and forced overtime against the Steelers. And the Steelers, I think, are better than the Panthers. So that's why I said I don't think it's one of these you have to have no turnovers. Like, next week when you play Buffalo, I might say that. I might say you have to have a no-turnover game to beat Buffalo.
Yeah.
But I think you can still get away with it. It wouldn't mean, like, hey, there's nothing to see here. They're all set. But if that ends up happening, I think they can still overcome that and still beat Carolina. But, no, hopefully it's a game where there are very few penalties, there's no turnovers, and we see a big step forward and a great Drake May performance and everything else.
What do you think they do with Stevenson and Pop this week?
So I think they both play. Now, Pop Douglas.
Do you read into it at all that Pop was on the show this morning that he might be playing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we had Christian Ellis on our show on Monday, and he got benched.
But he played the day before.
Yeah, true. But, like, I still don't know. Like, if he doesn't play or doesn't play much this Sunday, will we still have him on Monday? Maybe. I read more into the guys being on the show or not based on injury. Like, I don't think they let a lot of guys that are hurt. And Pop Douglas isn't hurt. But I do think he's active. I do. And I think that it's not like he's going to go from getting the most snaps at the position to the least snaps. He's already down there anyway.
Fourth on the depth chart, yeah.
So, yeah, I think he could still be out there. You know, if they think he had a good week of practice and if they think he was saying the right things or whatever, maybe he learned from it. I think he's still out there.
It's a shame.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't.
And, you know, if they lose the game and Stevenson and Douglas are active, I'm going to turn around and look at it and go, you know, Vrabel didn't send a strong enough message this week that turnovers aren't acceptable and not knowing the situation in a winning clutch spot isn't acceptable. Now, in fairness, if those guys go out and play well, we'll give Vrabel credit for pushing the right buttons. But I wouldn't play those guys this week. So, I wouldn't give either one a uniform.
Same. However, my guess is they both play. My thought is this. I think Stevenson is active.
I think the way they're talking about Stevenson might get like a token benching to start the game, but he's gonna play and play a lot, I think. Pop Douglas may get a uniform, but may not see the field.
My thought with Stevenson would be he certainly doesn't start, and then let's see what Henderson looks like. And if Henderson misses a block again.
Well, he should look good. The Carolina run D is atrocious, so he should look good. Whoever gets the ball should look good.
He hasn't yet. He's gotten carries. You know, he's not getting 20 carries, but nobody is in this backfield. So, like, he has gotten carries. He has not made the most of it. If he starts out and he's averaging 2 yards a carry and he misses a block on a pass play, I think they're going to be quicker to put Stevenson in. If Henderson goes out there and plays as well as you and I think that he can, maybe just kind of ride that hot hand and then sprinkle in Gibson. And then you're like, see, we're sending a message. But it's really more because they're doing well without him.
If you can't start Trevion this week, what'd you draft him for?
I don't know.
You don't need Ramondre. Gibson fumbled last week. This is the week to turn over the backfield to Trevion Henderson. And if you don't have confidence in him, you shouldn't have drafted him. And if he can't do it, we're going to look at it and say, maybe you shouldn't have drafted him. But this is the week to do it.
But I also wonder, this week, if Ramondre Stevenson, whether it's the first, second, or third, fourth quarter, if he fumbles, like, what do you do? What's the response? Like, I feel like...
What do you mean? What, like, from us?
No.
Oh, what's,
yeah,
what does Vrabel
do? You'll yell at the TV. Oh. I'll spit out my beer. No, like, what do the Patriots do? Because that's why I think sitting him for the whole game is even better. Then you come back, it's further removed. Not that it wouldn't be impactful anytime he fumbles again, because now that tag is on him.
We'd all have our pound of flesh, and he sat down, and we're fine.
Yeah, that's what I think.
If he goes out there and fumbles if he
this
gets
week,
to play and fumbles on Sunday...
I won't even be mad at him. I'll be mad at Vrabel for putting him out there.
This is what Curran said earlier this week, and I agree. That I the person to be mad at, if they put him in that spot again and he fumbles, is Mike Vrabel. Yeah. So it's a big, big week for Mike Vrabel this weekend against the Carolina Panthers. We said that going into the Dolphins game. He came through, but it's already the second time in a month we're like, boy, Vrabel's back's kind of against the wall, which I did not see coming. You can discuss all day long here on a Patriots Friday at 617-779-7937. Football talk, by the way, on WEEI, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Patriots Friday, Friday 4-pack, week in review. Keys, Pats, Panthers at 1 o'clock. Milt the Stilt Williams. Bozo touchdown parlay. Survivor pool.
Wow.
What else? Pure Hoops with Terp. Oh, close to noon.
Jam-packed.
Very jam-packed. Plus.
Random ball player.
Robbie Devers update.
Devers, Daily Devers update.
Plus, we got your top five Friday. The top five sports mascots next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? the celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that bear doing?
The bear.
Panther.
That's Sir Purr, bro.
Who?
Sir Purr.
How you say that?
Sir Purr.
Sir Purr. Oh, Sir Purr?
Wow.
You call him that?
Yeah, that's his name.
So you be like, what's up, Sir Purr?
Top 5 Friday, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was DJ Moore and Robbie Chosen Anderson?
I believe so. Yeah, that was probably my favorite mic'd up moment of like the last 10 years. It was so good because they're sitting on the bench and they're looking up on the big screen and there is, you know, Sir Purr doing his thing, interacting with fans in the crowd. He's like, what's that bear doing up there?
What's that bear doing?
He's like, bear?
Bear? He's like, that's we're the Panthers. That's Sir Purr. He's like, that's what you call him? He's like, well, that's his name. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, I called him by the Chiefs
that was terrified of the Broncos horse that was trotting around.
Eric Berry.
There you go.
Like the unbelievable safety, Eric Berry.
Yeah.
He was would like run away from the, because the Chiefs would ride a horse, their mascot would ride a horse on the field. He was definitely afraid of horses.
So he's afraid is a real horse.
We did
out
a
there.
Madness on this.
Really?
He like talked about it. He'd have to like get away. He like when they would tell him when the horse was coming, he was like terrified of horses. Like horrified of horses.
Wow.
So like, yeah, when he'd run on the field, he had to like go to the other side. They couldn't even look at it.
So Sir Purr, based purely on that clip.
Yeah.
One of the great sports mascots.
I considered him. I'll be honest. Spoiler alert, not on my list, but I thought about him. He's a good mascot.
On top of that, this is a great Top 5 Friday, Keith, because did you see what else is in the news today?
What's in the news today?
The World Cup announced all the mascots for the World Cup.
Oh, the Soccer World Cup?
For Canada, Mexico, and the U.S.
Oh. They have mascots?
Like, yes. Apparently, yes.
They do. Yeah.
So they announced. So that came out today or maybe late last night, and we were already planning on doing the mascots.
Perfect.
Don't clip that.
It's Kismet.
And so
you get Shyman here sprinting down the hallway.
But anyway, we were already planning on counting down
our top five mascots
is what I meant to say.
Definitely.
In sports. So, Keith, why don't you take it away? 5-1, right. Top 5 Friday sports mascots.
5-1, all the major sports as well as college counts. I'm going to start with a college mascot. I'm going with Sparky, the Sun Devil from Arizona State. Hail Satan.
Yeah.
He's great. He's got the little mustache. He's got a trident. He's running around. He's Satan.
Yeah,
he's
forks up is what they say at ASU.
Forks
yep,
up.
Yep, yep, yep.
He's got his little football uniform on, but he's actually a devil. He's running around. Great. Big smile on his face. He's up to something. Look at that. Terp's got it on.
Oh, great job,
Are we
Terp.
Back on Twitch?
We are back on Twitch.
That's Twitch.
I should have said that off the top of the show. Yes. We're back on Twitch. Actually, Monty Max said he missed us and we missed him. So we are back on Twitch.
All right. Yes. So, yeah, Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
If you fell in love with YouTube, stay over there too. I don't care. Watch it however you want to.
You watch the show wherever you want to watch
Whatever's
the show.
Easiest for
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. But
that was a pleasant surprise.
It's out there now. Yeah, Sparky.
All right. Number 4.
Yes.
And he's only been at it about 20. Oh, where's my countdown?
You started going. So
yeah,
I
was excited about that topic.
Number 4.
I'm full of sugar with all those donuts I had earlier. Look at this. G-Wiz, the Washington Wizards mascot, which is a flightless blue raven wearing a Wizards hat.
I am not familiar with G-Wiz.
That guy looks like he walked off the set of Sesame Street.
He does.
He's amazing. He's wearing a little jersey. He's dribbling a basketball around because he plays the game. He's like relatively new. I think he, 2007 he debuted.
I forgot that this is Keith's criteria for all these. They have to actually
play the sport.
Yeah,
they have to play the sport. Although the next guy doesn't.
Oh,
but anyway,
no. Okay.
But gee whiz.
Yeah.
Fantastic mascot. I don't know why he has to be flightless, but he's a flightless giant raven.
Well, if he could fly around, that wouldn't really be fair to the other people he's playing basketball against.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right, number 3. Oh.
Coming in at number 3rd.
I don't know how to do the countdown. I'm too fired up for countdown.
Too amped up.
All right, this is my only one real animal mascot. I'm going with Uga from Georgia. So it's a Georgia Bulldog. He's got a little jersey on. And in the hot games in the SEC, he lays on a bag of ice. All game long, he lays on a bag of ice. He was in the news a couple years ago because he tried to bite Bevo, the giant mascot.
Bevo went after him.
Bevo went after him,
but yeah, Uga, then he tried to bite him.
But
yeah.
Uga didn't. He was like, I'm not taking this mess. So Uga took a little snap at him. Sadly, there have been lots of Ugas because Bulldogs don't live forever.
What are they on to?
Like Uga 9 or 10.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Ugas.
Yeah.
But you get the little jersey on.
I bet they snuck in a couple extras too. They didn't even tell us. A couple they didn't even tell us
about. And the best is it'll be like a tight game, Georgia, Alabama or something. It'll be like 21-21. They pan to the side. He's in his little crate sleeping with like ice on his belly. Like, oh, he's a little tuckered out. Yeah. In a big pregame.
I'm sure.
I love Oga.
Yeah, I'm sure PETA approves of that. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he's treated probably pretty well.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty well. All right.
Number two.
Going with the Philly Fanatic at number two from the Phillies. Maybe the most famous mascot. I think he was the first ever induction into the Mascot Hall of Fame.
Ooh, this is a list you're going to hear a lot. You're going to hear a lot of Mascot Hall of Fame talk of mine.
He's unbelievable. He's a big green guy. Like, this is what a mascot should be. He's always throwing baseballs. He's also all kinds of tomfoolery. He'll walk up behind the opponent players.
There's some hijinks.
Tap him on one shoulder. He'll be on the other side. I saw him brag in Veterans Stadium back before they went to the new place.
Oh, the old vet.
And he was on a four-wheeler before the game.
Oh, he's famous
like
for his ATV.
200 miles an hour. Like jumping off the mound. I'm like, this guy's a lunatic. And they're like, no, he's the Fanatic.
I bet they're on Philly Fanatic 2 or 3.
I bet
he's lost.
He's a bit of a daredevil.
I bet he's gotten in an ATV accident.
But the Fanatic's unbelievable.
Well, he had to fight Green Man.
Oh, great point.
Yeah, he did.
Great point.
I put him at, we don't even really know what he is. He's kind of like
Green
a monster.
Man on my list. Crap.
Oh, Green Man would have been good.
Should have put Green Man
but anyway,
on.
I have the Fanatic, who I think is the best pro mascot. I have him number two.
Number one.
Number one, by far my favorite guy. Goes by the name Big Red.
I knew you were going to
have
this
one. He is the Western Kentucky mascot. It's just a blob. Just a red blob. Eyes and eyebrows, a big mouth. The guy's fantastic. He somehow can give off expressions, even though he's in this suit and it's like the same head. He's in several SportsCenter commercials because they know how good he is.
Yeah.
Including the one where they're like, how do you know you've had 10,000 SportsCenters? And they're like, well, we got a guy. And then they show in like the stacks of all these VCRs, them dropping off these tapes. And he's got like a million VHSs in his hands trying to count the episodes. So anyway, Big Red from Western Kentucky's number one.
All right. 5-1. Sparky, G-Wiz, Uga, Philly Fanatic, and Big Red.
I love my list.
We are not going to have much overlap here.
Great.
But Big Red, I did consider.
Yes, he's great.
Big Red was an honorable mention, as was Puddles the Duck.
Puddles, who looks a lot like Donald the
correct.
Duck.
Correct, yeah. My wife said she's divorcing if he doesn't make the top five, so he's an honorable mention.
Do it that way.
I guess I'll be going home to papers at my house. But
between that and Captain Crunch this week, oh boy.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
True. I just live on the couch. But Puddles the Duck is an honorable mention. But let's get into my top five.
Number
five.
Okay, I'm gonna see if this is allowed. I'm shoehorning in Mr. and Mrs. Met.
Ah, fine.
That's a package
deal. I'll allow it.
You love love.
I do love love, and these two, they love.
I initially had them separate. I had Mrs. Met just slightly
higher?
Above Mr. Met because
Mrs. Met number one.
Yeah, I had her pretty high initially.
You're trying to tear the two apart.
I had to revise this down, but honestly, I know it's top five Friday. We could have done a top 20 on these.
Oh, my God.
And
easy.
So I wanted to shoehorn in Mr. and Mrs. Met. Who knows what they're doing on a Friday night?
Oh, I have a pretty good
idea. Actually, we probably
definitely
know.
Idea.
So they check in at number
five. They're playing Pepper.
Number
four.
Number four, Go the Gorilla. Probably the first mascot that was out there, just Tomahawk Duncan.
Dunks.
Jumping off trampolines.
The Suns.
I was unaware his name was Go until I was doing some research on this.
His name's Go. I mean, I guess that's short for gorilla.
But he was inducted into the Mascot Hall of Fame, Keith, in 2005. He was an early, early inductee.
Good for him.
Into the Mascot Hall of Fame just before Mr. Met. Mrs. Met not in. It's a bit misogynistic.
Mrs. Met's not in?
It's a bit misogynistic. Honestly, there's a bit of like a Masters thing going on there where they're not really letting in a full membership,
it's
I feel
like
a
gentleman's club.
Exactly.
Right.
But Mr. Met did get in, as did Go the Gorilla. He's number four.
Coming in at number third.
Coming in at number third, Blue the Colt. Are you familiar with his celebration, Keith?
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty much just... Thrusting is a good word for it.
Yeah.
Air humping.
Yeah.
He'll go down there and really taunt you. Anytime the Colts do something nice, he's
is he
just
another
gonna,
one of these guys too that
he's gonna
like,
thrust right in your face.
Is he another guy that like on a missed field goal he'll like drop down and like fall back?
Oh yeah, and he'll just play dead.
A lot of hysterics.
Yes.
He also dominates the mascot football game.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Well, I was unaware of that.
The mascots played like little pop.
Oh, did he?
Kids.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's tossing some kids around.
Yeah, he stiff-armed the kid on the sideline. I saw that.
Even better. Let's move him up. So that is, again, Blue the Colt, who was an inductee into the Mascot Hall of Fame, Keith, in 2020. It was a COVID year. I'm not sure if you recognize that or not.
No. The voting was off.
He did get in.
Number
two.
Okay, tell me if this one counts. Snowflake the Dolphin from Ace Ventura.
Oh, I guess, yeah. I don't see why not.
Look
it's
at
not
him.
Currently the mascot, but they made a whole movie about it. He
Look
was stolen.
Guy. Look at that guy.
He's wearing the helmet backwards.
He lived a hard life.
He doesn't even know how to wear the helmet.
But he was out there. He was supporting his team. He came back and really helped him out.
Yeah, that's where dolphins should be, in an above ground pool that barely would fit three kids. A dolphin in there.
You're icing down a dog in the middle of 100 degree days
hot.
In the south.
I'm sure he eats like a king, though.
I bet Snowflake's not hot.
No, he's in the water.
Pretty confined.
I don't mind.
I don't think he's warm.
I don't mind the Snowflake pick.
All right, Snowflake, the dolphin, number two.
Yeah. And number one.
Number one, the Philly Fanatic.
Okay.
A Hall of Fame inductee. Again, the original Hall of Fame inductee in 2005. What a class
he's
that was.
He's the face of the Hall of Fame.
It was Philly.
Look at him on the ATV.
Philly Fanatic. Go the Gorilla and the San Diego Chicken were the initial. That's the initial class.
Yeah.
That's Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb. That was the mascot Hall of Fame class back in 2005.
You know who I also liked?
Who's that?
Is Hugo the Hornet is pretty good.
Yep.
And he would do some dunk contests. There's two different ones. There was one that basically looked like a greed man. And he was like the real tight. And they did a mascot slam dunk contest one year. And he won with a dunk called Bug on the Windshield, where he dunked it and then stuck himself on the glass.
I do remember that. Wow, what a dunk.
That's amazing.
That's nice.
But then there's like a bigger version where he's like in like a whole suit. So, Terps made the graphic.
Terp, great job.
Fantastic.
Great job.
Terp.
We'll tweet that out. At Jones and Keith. Oh, at Jones WEEI.
Look at G-Wiz. G-Wiz, I feel great about this pick.
Yeah, that's nice.
I also,
I
was just going to say, I like what Blue's doing to Keith there.
I do not care for that.
Get right in there.
I don't like, can you blur it at least, Terp? Just blur that. I like the Raptor from the Toronto Raptors is good. It's a solid mascot. Better logo than mascot, but the mascot's not bad.
I was fully expecting the Toronto Raptors.
Did you consider Gritty the maniac from the Flyers?
I don't really like Gritty. I know people like Gritty. Nick brought him up yesterday. Yeah. I don't really appreciate Gritty. Same thing with the San Diego Chicken. I'm not really feeling it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.